Heavenly Father, Lord, we come once again, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts, Lord, that you might just lead us and guide us, Lord, in the truth. Lord, we know that all revelation comes from you. And Lord, we know that every man was unworthy to take the book and to loose the seals and even to look thereon, Lord. Lord, that's why we're looking to you tonight. Lord, that you would come among us, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would bless each one. Lord, that you know every soul. Lord, every predestinated seed, all that's yours, Father. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for delivering Brother Goomba safely. Lord, we thank you for the journey, the delays that he had, Lord, and he said, yet and all of that, the trip was extraordinary. It was just above and beyond. And Lord, he was giving you the thanks and praise. And Lord, we just, may you continue to guide him, continue to anoint him, Lord, in every service, every person he would meet. Lord, that the presence of God would just be upon him and around him, and the people would recognize that, Lord. And so we just thank you and praise you. May you take the furtherance of this service. So we thank you for the songs, Lord, the worship, all. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We do greet you in the name of the Lord. And we're happy to be here. And we thank God for being with Brother Goomba. And we were kind of joking with him about the, I asked him, I said, did you, have you eat anything? And because I know how bad the plain food is. Nobody likes plain food. And I didn't hear what you said back there. So I'm not sure. Maybe you talked about some of this. I don't know. But anyways, he told me that the food was good. He said that he, I think he said pasta and chicken. And so he said he ate every bit of it. And so I don't know if it was every flight. But anyways, one of his flights, he said it was good and that he had ate. So every once in a while they have something, but they always have chicken. They might have something else. They'll have something else. They'll have another choice. They always have another choice, but they always have chicken, and it never looks like chicken, and it never tastes like chicken, and you'll never get fried chicken. You'll never get just a plain piece of fried chicken that looks like fried chicken and tastes like fried chicken. In 40 years, I've never seen that. But they'll have it, and it'll look like something else. So anyways, we thank God for just being with Brother Goomba. We're expecting to hear good things as he goes along. He'll be ministering different places. He has a lot of places that he wants to go. And he has a lot on his heart. And so we know that this message is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that it's misrepresented in so many different ways. And I really kind of been stirred up today, and just many different things, a lot going on. As Brother Michael said, just the job, some of the job stuff, it's always there. It's always there. It's always to distract you. But here now we have a new president, and that is a big thing. And I thank God that that the Democrats didn't get it. Yeah. I thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
That it is so. Everything about that party represents is terrible. It's terrible, and I was talking to my son the other day, and the stuff that you hear, if you keep up with it, the stuff that you hear about the stuff that they're trying to promote to the children, in the schools, the transgender stuff, and to get them to change their gender. And some people don't believe that. They don't know it because they don't see it. They don't read it. They don't see it. They don't see the news. They don't read the news. Whatever reason. But I keep up with a little bit of it. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I do follow it. And it's there, and it's real. And it's the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit of Satan. And so I thought, you know, this little town here, Lincolnton, won't have it so much. And our son said, it's there. And he said that they've kind of held it back on the kindergarten through fourth grade. He said, but when his daughter's going into fifth grade, then the books are there. They make the books available on it. And so he went to the teacher, and of course, she's on the left. I'm going to say on the left. And so she's okay with that. So he's having a meeting with the principal on those things. And so it's everywhere. And it's promoted by Satan. Yep. And it's promoted by that party. Yep. And so I really racked my brain to try to figure out why. I like to understand why. Why anybody in their right mind would promote this. Yep. Just like the all the stuff that's coming out about the pedophiles, the pedophilia, related also to that group. Mm-hmm. And it's real. And so it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I tried to understand why. How can anybody in their right mind, how can you put children out there in that? You want to do that? You're a grown up. You want to do that? You want to destroy yourself? You want to... fine. But children, yeah. Who in their right mind? Only Satan.
That's right.
Only Satan could inspire somebody to do that. And it's there and it's powerful. But everything that you see that goes off like this, that you can't, you wonder why, who would do such a thing? Doesn't even make sense. It's not even common sense. I was listening to a man the other day, and he said, just follow the money. Yeah. Always. Every time this corruption comes in, every time this kind of thing comes in, he said, follow the money. And who is financing it? The government's financing it. The government is financing the sex change. The government's behind is okay with this sex change and this gender, these children destroying themselves, sterilizing themselves, all of that. The pharmaceutical companies are making billions and billions of dollars, and the government's paying for it. You're paying for it with your tax dollars.
Right.
You're paying for it, and you don't have any say-so in it. You don't have any say-so. Just as when I was a young kid, a teenager, the girls could get birth control from the school, and they didn't have to tell the parents. The parents had no say in it. They didn't have no right in it, nothing, because it was being promoted. And now Satan just keeps moving that thing and promoting it. And so it's a powerful force that's going on. But it's a sign of the end time. It is a sign of the end time. And Satan, the power of Satan, is on the earth today.
That's right.
So... now I have a scripture here. I have three verses of scripture that I want to read. You don't have it, but it's in Colossians chapter 5, verse 24, 25, and 26. I just put it in here just at the last minute. I had some things that's been kind of bothering me today, and I don't know how to say it, what to say, or anything. But I have my quotes that I had planned on preaching, and I'm going to start reading them. And then if I feel led to say some things that are on my heart, but this here is this scripture is on my heart. I want you to think about this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh, right? With the afflictions and lust. You know, I want to take your mind back to a message we preached not too long ago when we were, I'm not sure where it was, maybe it was in Christ Revealed in His Own Word, but we read Colossians, I think the third chapter, and it was talking about the law and the bond and the free, and that the liberty that we have in Christ. And so the how that people want to go back under the law. And that's the truth. That's where, because that's, as I heard another preacher talking about it, he said, that's a safe place. Yeah. It's a safe place when you have a set of rules. You have a law, you have something that says, this is right and this is wrong. Everything's black and white. And then that's where the law was. And that's what man continually does with any revelation that God gives. God gives a revelation, and then man makes a law. And they take that revelation. You take, in Luther's day, he got a revelation. He got a revelation. But what happened, as soon as he went off the scene, they made a law. They made a law out of his revelation. Man added to it, he took away from it, he did what he always does. And this is what we were talking about on Sunday, talking about Balaam and the things that was happening there as the children of Israel passing through. It was a trap that Satan had waiting for them. And those traps have come all the way through the scripture. They came from Genesis. They came all the way through the New Testament, all the way into this day. They came into this message. When Wesley came, he walked out with a revelation that God had given. And he began to speak forth the word of that day. And then they made a law. And then that's what we have today. We have the Wesleyan churches. We have the Lutheran churches. We have the Pentecostal churches. They had a revelation. The very promise of God was fulfilled in them. They stood right there and they fulfilled the very scripture that said God was going to pour out his spirit, that God was going to pour out the gifts, that God was going to do great supernatural things, and that they were going to manifest these things. And they seen it, and the spirit was upon them, and they began to cry out for it. And that's what happens in every age. God has a people that is sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, so that when God is ready, he's already put something on them people that are making them want it. They just feel it inside of them. There's something that God is pulling and pushing and inspiring them to cry out for the very promise of the hour, for the very scripture that God ordained for that day. And then, as soon as God does it, man makes a law out of it. And that's people's safe place. Yeah. It's their safe place. They find satisfaction in that. They find security in that. And you forgive me. So they want something that they can say, this is right and this is wrong. And then everybody that does this is right and everybody that does that's wrong. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not God's way. God wants a group of people that is walking in the revelation. God wants a group of people that is led by the Spirit. That they live by the Spirit. Every day of their life, they live by the Spirit. And we just mentioned Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. The same thing's in the message. The same thing has come all the way over into this message. The prophet brought the message, and now people are dividing it and hacking it and making every division that they can make. Yes, okay? And you're not going to preach at our church unless you believe this and this, because this is the law, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. And you're not going to go over to this other church unless you believe like they do. You're not going to go to this other church unless you believe like they do. They've divided it up. This is the law. Yeah. That's what I think I mentioned just recently about a brother in Africa. And I've been blessed when I go there. I have many people, places, pastors have freely invited me to let me come. I could go somewhere. I've went into a place unannounced, sit down, start listening to the preacher, and he just stops preaching. He said, come, brother, we want you to minister. And just like that, he didn't even know I was coming. And so I've been very blessed in that way. But I had a place one time that I had God put on my heart a message for a church. And I talked to the pastor and I said, "Brother, I have this on my heart. I feel like that it's the Lord and that'll be a blessing to you, be a blessing to your people." And so he wouldn't, at first he wouldn't reply. And I just kept texting him and saying, "Brother, I'd like to come." And so he was far from me. And so he finally just told me, he said, "Brother, we're too different. We're too different in our doctrine." And so that's the divide. That's the divide. You don't believe like us, so we don't want to hear. We don't care if you think how you feel, or God is trying to speak to you, or God can speak to you, or God can't speak to you. None of that matters. They have a law. And they've made a law out of the message. God wants a people that are walking in the Spirit. And that is a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be when you don't have a law. You don't have a everything cut and dry, right and wrong. That's a hard place to be. Because people want something that they can say, "You're right or you're wrong." That's what we want. And so, and I'm talking now, I'm not just talking about the Word. The Word is right. And the Word is going to come to you by revelation. Amen. But there's something, somewhere, when you're born again, and when I'm born again, we didn't all just become alike.
Right. That's right.
We're not just all alike.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I like things you don't like. You like things I don't like.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So that nature of God that's in you, that's living in you, it didn't make us all have the same desires and the same wants and the same not wants.
That's right.
God has a group of people,
yes,
that is individuals that God wants to lead by His Spirit.
Amen.
And when He does that, that person's going to do what you might think is wrong. You might not like, you might think, "Oh, well, no, that's not according to our law, our message law, or our COD book." Our COD book is conduct, order, and doctrine. You do it just like this, and you're okay, and you step out of this, and you're wrong. And that, you can't walk by revelation like that. You can't walk by revelation when the children of Israel, when they were coming through. And we'll read it. We'll read it because it's right here in the notes. And they stopped and they joined in the feast of Baal-Peor. They joined in the feast. And God didn't like it. And God never, the Bible says, and Brother Branham said, God never forgave them for that. For going in and fellowshipping and worshiping and becoming a part of that. God didn't like it. And He killed 24,000 of them in a day.
Yeah.
And He would have continued. Except there was an Israelite. Well, brother, God told Moses, He said, "You take the heads of all these tribes," and He said, "You hang them up. You hang them up out here in the sun. You kill them." And so He called them together and said, "You get your man." Then here comes an Israelite with a Midianite woman, and right in front of everybody, and he takes her into the tent, and the priest grabs up his spear and he goes in and he kills both of them. That's how bad God didn't want this. God didn't want them mixing in their worship. God didn't want them mixing in their marriage. But there was Moses standing right there with a wife, a Midianite wife.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So don't you think some of those people with their intellectual mind were thinking,
yes,
now here Moses has a Midianite wife. What's wrong with me having a Midianite wife?
Yeah.
God told them, those Israelites back there, don't you mix,
that's right,
with these other people. Don't you mix. And then here is a Boaz,
yes,
who takes this woman from another place.
Yeah.
God had somebody who could be led,
yeah,
by the Spirit of God. Somebody who could walk out when everybody else was against it. And these were believers of the message. These were believers of the Bible. These were the believers of Jehovah God.
Yes, sir.
And they were against this thing. And even this man that Boaz went to, he had the rights before him. And he declared that he would take it. That he would redeem Naomi and he would redeem that land. Of course he wanted it. But he didn't want it bad enough. He didn't want it bad enough to take the reproach that it was required for him to take. And everyone to look down upon him and say, no, this is contrary. Why? Because God hadn't inspired him to walk in the revelation of the day. Boaz had it. Boaz recognized something in her. Moses, with his black wife that they spoke against. They weren't supposed to mix. Israel wasn't supposed to mix with nobody. But when they spoke against it, what happened? Far as I know, Boaz wasn't a prophet. There was plenty of prophets did plenty of things. There's one laid on his side. Okay? So, what are you going to think? What are you going to think? Here's a prophet that God tells to go down and get a prostitute. What are you going to think about this guy? Huh? You know that's wrong. That's wrong today. That was wrong in that day. But God told him to do it. He didn't tell everybody else that he told him to do it. He only told him he told him to do it. So this man had to walk alone with God. We talk about it, that we want it. But as soon as we see somebody doing something we don't like, immediately, where do we go? We go back to the law. We go back to the law. Hell, you know, this doesn't line up so much. This, I don't think this is right. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we have the Spirit of God in us, then let's walk the walk. Let's talk the talk. Let's live the life that we say is in us. If Christ is in there, then we have to let go. And when we're not letting go, what we're doing is we are letting our intellect lead us and guide us. That's what we're doing. That's been the battle from the beginning to this time. It's been the intellect against revelation. That's what it's always been.
Yes, sir.
And I'll say again, I'm not talking about genius people. I'm not talking about people with high IQ. I'm talking about anyone who's not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in their intellectual faith. They're walking in their carnal understanding. That's just only two places. There's only two places to be. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. No. Pride and ego is vainglory.
Yes, that's right.
And as soon as we come to that place where we're doing something because we're worried what everybody else is going to think about it, what everybody else is going to say, then I no longer can be led of the Spirit of God. Because I'm worried about my ego, I'm worried about my pride, I'm worried about what people are thinking of me. Same thing when I come here to preach. If I'm worried about what everybody's going to think, and I got to do it, preach a certain way, or I got to do a certain thing, I got to impress the people.
Amen.
That's my pride.
Yes, sir.
That's my ego. Mm-hmm. I've let that overcome the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've let that overcome the revelation of the new birth.
Amen.
Yeah, it's got in the way. And something has to rein it in. It's going to take God. It's going to take God. Page 205, paragraph 1. Now, in spite of the fact that Balaam knew the proper approach to God and could bring forth a revelation from the Lord by means of a special endowment of power, he was still, for all of that, a bishop of the false group. Can we read that again? In spite of the fact that Balaam knew the proper approach to God. And you're going to watch in just a minute the approach that he takes against the children of Israel. He could bring a revelation from the Lord by means of a special power that he had. He was endued. He was inspired with a special power from God, a supernatural power. He was still, for all of that, a bishop of the false group. And he left the word. For what did he do now in order to win favor with Balak? Now that's what he wanted all this time, is he wanted that favor. His ego, his pride, wanted to be lifted up. He wanted the money, he wanted the fame, he wanted the glory. And he was willing to do anything. And after God had told him, and God had showed him, and God spoke to an animal, all of that, he still wanted favor with Balak. He formulated a plan wherein God would be forced to deal with Israel in death. Are you reading that? He devised a plan that would force God to deal with Israel in death. Now that's quite a thought when you think about it. You mean this man came up with this great idea to trap God into killing his own people? Into bringing his own people into adultery? Into capturing them and bringing them into sin? And not only that, listen, that God would be forced to deal with Israel in death, just as Satan knew that he could beguile Eve and cause her to fall in fleshly sin, thus causing God to pass his pronounced sentence of death against sin. Now, what's catching my attention here is that he's saying Balaam knew. So if Balaam knew, if they could get the people to come and partake of this, that it was going to bring death. Now, is he not saying that Balaam knew they were in sin and what they were doing was wrong? If you take it like that, that's what it's saying. If you take it like that, Balaam knew that this is wrong and that they knew if they could get the children of Israel to do what we're doing, they'll also be in sin. But I don't think it was that simple. I don't think it was that simple. I think it was Satan inspired, because they thought what they had was the same thing. In their carnal understanding, in their intellectual understanding. Let's just keep reading a little bit here. Thus, Satan, what he did to Eve, he's doing here now the same thing. And what happened? Eve got off with one word. And what happened? She brought forth two sons. One was death, another was promised. The exact same thing that Sarah done. She got off the word. And when she got off the word, she left. God had a way for this, and Sarah had another way. She just changed one word and said, we'll let my maid be the one, and it'll be mine. And what happened? Two sons again. One was the promised son. It eventually came. And the other one was death. It's still causing death today. It was a wild man. It's still a wild man today. And all men would be against him. And it's still here today. Same thing. It's just the same now. So Balaam knew that if he could get, now notice that he's saying Balaam. Balaam knew that if he could get Israel to sin, God would have to deal with them in death. So he planned a way to get them to come over and join in sin. And he sent out invitations to come to the feast of Baal-Peor. Come over and worship with us. See? And now, you watch this, because this is really a razor edge. This is really close. Because we talk about loving everybody. We're talking about having extending the right hand of fellowship to everybody. That's all good. But here, it was nothing but death. So what makes the difference? Are you going out there because of your love for those people? You're caring, you're feeling, you want fellowship, and you just love them, and you want to help them? Or are you going because you're led of the Spirit of God? Because if you're not led of the Spirit of God, that might be the trap that Satan's been waiting to get you in.
That's right.
The same thing that caught them. The same thing that caught Eve. The same thing. One is led of the Spirit and the other one is not.
Amen.
I don't think we have to hide anything as Christians. I think we can be an open book.
Amen.
And I was talking to my wife this morning. I listened a little bit last night to the elections before I went to bed, and they were just getting started. They were just closing the polling booths, and so they were just getting. I wanted to know what it was going to be, and so. But I went to bed early, and I woke up a couple times in the night, and I refused to look at it. And so when I got up this morning around 5:30, I looked at it, what it was. And so I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, you know, some people would be really surprised to know that you voted. And I said, yeah. I said, probably so. I said, I know that when we were sitting under Brother Holmes, there were some people that voted, and he spoke really hard against it. And I know that myself, for many, many years, I would say around 30 years, almost 30 years, I never voted. I became a Christian when I was 21, and I never voted. And I said, there's no use. God's in control. So this thing's already predetermined. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. God has it all planned out. It doesn't matter. You know, none of that matters. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, that's what a lot of people say about preaching. What's the use?
Yeah.
What's the use about preaching?
Yeah.
It's all planned out. Nobody's going to be lost. You know, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be lost. God has every one of them, and God's going to get every one of them. But how does he get them? Because somebody spoke to them.
That's right.
Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
That's the word. It's not going to change.
Yeah.
It's always been faith comes by hearing. And so that's there, it's going to stay there. And so, and I know this can be argued a lot of different ways. And I know Brother Bram said he didn't pray for the nation no more because it was gone. They rejected God. That's right. You know, the Bible said pray for your leaders, pray for all of that. And so I've only voted four times. And I wanted to vote for Perot back there. And I think that might have been 96 or somewhere like that. He was a businessman. He wasn't a politician. He was a businessman. And he started running, and he would have won the election. But when the criticism come, and they started picking on his family, and he was a very moral man. He was a very successful businessman, and if somebody in his company was caught in adultery or any anything wrong, he fired him. I mean, absolutely, you had to live a moral life to work for him. He had that kind of morals. And yet, he was a very successful, at that time, I don't know, millionaire, billionaire, whatever he was. And so I thought, he could help this country. That's what we need. We don't need politicians. They've destroyed this country. Right. We need some businessmen. Yeah. And somebody like that, it would be a challenge to them. They would enjoy the challenge, and they would be trying to prove themselves, and that's what the country needs. And so I wanted to vote for him, but he got weak when they went after his family, and he backed out. Then he jumped back in right before Election Day, so he thought he wouldn't take any of the persecution. If you're not willing to take the persecution, you're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. And that's how it is with a Christian. If you're not willing just to take the persecution, if you're not willing to, just like you sisters, you dress like a lady, you look like a lady, you act like a lady. See, if you're not willing to do that everywhere all the time, then you're too weak. You just as well go on, because you're not going to last.
That's
right. Satan's going to put the pressure on somewhere. You're going to give it up. And so it's the same way with the men. Now somewhere you have to, we make a stand. We have to make a stand on our job, different places. We talk to people. Somewhere we have to make that stand, and that they know that you're different. That you don't put up with that nonsense. You believe.
Yes.
And so that's what he wasn't willing to do. And so what he actually done is he didn't get it, and Bush didn't get it, but I think it was Clinton got it. What Perot did is he actually divided the boat. And so that's when the bells went off in people's heads. And since then, that's what they've been trying to do, is divide the boat. And because they didn't, it never dawned on them before. Maybe some of them, there's some of them so smart it probably did. But it happened. The Republicans would have easily won, but the vote was divided and the Democrats got it. So the other three times, and this is funny, my wife and I will have this conversation later. She said, I don't remember her exact words, but she talked about talking politics from the pulpit. And I said, I try not to do that. And I said, do I do that? And she said, yeah, sometimes you do that. And I have a lot of confidence in what she says. And, you know, sometimes I think I go through it fast, and like now I know I'm taking time. Right now I know I'm taking time. And so, but I seek that, an honest opinion. And I think every preacher does. He wants somebody who can be honest with him. You know, by no means do I think I'm perfect. By no means do I think I do it all right. If anything, I feel just the opposite of that. But I said I voted four times. The other three times I voted was for Trump. And the reason I voted for Trump is because he was a businessman and not a politician. And he proved himself the first time he got elected. He did more for this country. They've called that man everything. Nazi. They've tried to destroy him every kind of way. He spent 3 years in court. And I'm not promoting him. Even though I'm saying I voted for him, I'm not promoting him. I'm not promoting his character. I'm not saying he's a Christian. I'm not saying he's a good man. I'm not saying the things that he said is just purely wrong. Okay? All of that. You only get a choice of two or three people.
That's right.
And actually, you know, there was four people running. I didn't even know it. There was two more people running. Never even heard of them. Not even once. There was a libertarian woman. I think she was the libertarian, and there was another guy. I seen them on the ballot. And I don't know where they come from, and I don't know. I don't know. I assume they were running because they were four down there, and those two there, never even heard of them. I don't even think they got any. I never heard that they got a vote. I never heard anything. I just seen that there was two more names down there. And so sometimes, you know, we say sometimes you take the lesser of two evils, whatever it is. But this time especially, with the current condition, the current evil, I feel like that And I hate to just say the Democratic Party, because I know there's good people there. There must be good people there. But they are deceived. The people who promote this gender thing, this transgender thing, they are deceived. They are just inspired by Satan. And I hate to say it. I hate to go there. I hate to bring it to the pulpit. But I'm just going to tell you, we are in the last days. And the spirit of Satan has taken over politics. The spirit of Satan is in the schools. The spirit of Satan is in the churches. And Brother Branham said, and the Bible said, they are worshiping Satan, thinking that they are worshiping God. That's not a joke. That's not a maybe. They are worshiping Satan, thinking that they are worshiping God. And if that power is, if it's so strong and it's so powerful, until now it's okay to be a pedophile. Used to, if you was a pedophile and you got caught, you were going to die.
That's right.
Because when you got to prison, those inmates were going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's it. It was done. They didn't have to try you. They didn't have to hang you or shoot you or anything. All they had to do is take you to prison, and the prisoners were going to kill you.
Yep, that's right.
Because they didn't put up with that stuff. They might be murderers. They might be thieves. They might be every kind. But when you touch children, that was the lowest of low,
that's right.
Even to them.
Yeah.
And now our most educated people are giving the children to Satan. They're giving the children to Satan. And they're sterilizing them. They're doing all kinds of things to them. That is the spirit of the devil let loose in the last days.
Amen.
When the seals opened up and God opened himself up and God took the veil off of God, Satan also went forth. And he is destroying the minds of the people.
Right.
They might be genius. They might be 100 times, 1,000,000 times smarter than what I am. But they're insane.
Yes.
They are absolutely insane.
That's right.
They've just gone. And from that's the reason. That's the reason I voted this time.
Amen.
Is because I feel like I should stand up for something.
Amen.
Do I think there any of them are morally? They're rotten. They're rotten. All of it's rotten. Politics is rotten. I don't know that there's anything good out there anywhere. But I know one proved that he wanted to help this country and that he tried to make it fair for the people on a lot of fronts. And he, you know, at this point in time, with all of the gays and all this other stuff and the abortion and everything else, there's never going to be a time. If you think there is, there's not. If you ever think there's going to be a time when there's not going to be any abortion, no. That's not going to be there no more. If you think there's going to be a time that there's not going to be a happy medium for gays and all of that, no. That's in, it's done, you just as well accept it. It's here and it's here to stay. And so they have to be tolerant with that. They have to be tolerant. And I could shock you some more if you want me to. I've been in business for 40 years. I have worked for many gay couples and many lesbian couples. I've worked for many. I have a subcontractor who is an architect who is homosexual. I've met his partner. I've done jobs for him. And they and even some has made the comments to one another, and the other one tell me. The gay one talked to the other gay one, and the other gay one tells me what that gay one said. And he said, "We couldn't believe Don was willing to work for us." And I just smiled. I didn't say anything. I said, "Well, I'm you know, I don't agree with the lifestyle. I don't agree with it, but." I don't go to their parties.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not going to their festivals. I'm not going to none of that. But if I can say something to them, if they can see, one of them didn't even know I was a preacher. I was building his house. He didn't know I was a preacher. And one of the neighbors kept giving a hard time to him, to the property, and so because I was a contractor, he started complaining to me, and he went over to the neighbor, and he told him, he said, he really talked bad, and I wouldn't repeat none of that, but he said, that man's such a good man, said he's almost a preacher. He didn't know I was a minister. He said, he's such a good man, he's almost a preacher. And so anyways, I want to be an open book. Amen. I want to be an open book. If you think any of that's wrong, then you can tell me, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. But that hit me because of what has been burning on me today. Mm-hmm. And that is walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
If you say, oh, God's led you to go to vote for Trump. No, I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say I felt at liberty.
Yes.
I felt at liberty to vote. Because of how bad a condition this country's in. And I'm voting knowing that this country has forsaken God. I'm voting knowing that this country's going down. I know it. But if my vote helps even slow down that a little bit, if it helps the economy a little bit, if it does anything, if it lets me keep my guns, if it makes the gas prices go back down some, whatever it does, whatever it does, let God have His way. If I'm voting for the wrong person, and then God's going to get the right person in there. God's going to get the right person in there. Whoever's got to fulfill it. Maybe what we need to finish this thing up and bring another world war, or whatever it's going to be, is not a brain dead president, but one who's willing to stand up and say, "Bring it on." That might be what we need. Yeah.
Amen.
Trump's not afraid.
That's right.
He's not afraid. And that's why he gets along with those guys that the rest of them don't get along with.
Right.
He got along with Putin.
Yeah.
He got along with Kim Jong. He got along with the guy in the Philippines.
Yeah.
He got along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was against them, and he got along with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that just intimidated him.
Yeah.
Now, I've really talked about politics, but what I'm really talking about is being led of the Spirit.
Amen.
And I want to say it like this. If you feel led to not vote, then you follow that leading.
That's right.
If God tells you, I don't feel like I should do it, don't you do it.
Yeah.
And if somebody else feels like they should or that they want to, let them go.
Yes.
Let them go.
That's right.
I would say something about Brother Goomba. And he's not here, and I would rather him be here when I say it. But with him and I, and we talked about when we went here and he baptized somebody here, and both of us believe the exact same thing.
Amen.
We don't believe there's anything good in it. We don't believe it's going to help you. It's not going to do anything for you. And I told him before we went, I said, Brother, I'm not going to. I said, I'll just tell them that I don't agree with it. I don't believe in it. And he felt led to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen how it worked out, and I was glad that he was able to be there and to, I think it made a bond with that man.
Yeah.
And that he baptized and whoever else, I don't know. So I don't know who all that touched and what door that might have opened.
Amen.
So God can use me to not do it. God can use him to do it.
That's right.
And just like Brother Goomba brought out about Paul having somebody circumcised to go with him where he was going.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I agree with that. I would preach against circumcision. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was. And you look how much Paul preached against it.
Yeah.
Paul preached against it more than anybody. When you even when you read Galatians, I want you to read Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 5, if you have time. Read those three chapters. And he talks about it in there, too. It even comes up. And so he's telling you, it's over, it's done. But yet, it's given to Peter to the Jews, and it was given to Paul to the Gentiles, and a lot of things that he talked about. But he talks about the law, and that's why I'd like for you to read that. He talks about the law. We got to quit making laws.
Amen.
We have got to quit making laws. The scripture says, know no man after the flesh.
That's right.
And you can't do that as long as you have a law that you have everybody under. If you look at everybody, and I'm not saying you go do whatever you want, you go sin, you go do this, you go do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm talking about when you are led of the Spirit, you are letting God lead you to do what you're doing.
Well, that's right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
One man laid on his side for a year or something like that, then turned over and laid on the other side for another year or so, or however long it was, don't matter. He was an oddball. He was doing something God led him to do.
Yes, sir.
The whole Bible's that way. Is God leading his people to do something.
Amen.
And that's God's been building this and building this and building this bride.
Yes, sir.
And he wants a people. He has a people.
Amen.
He don't just want it. He has it. He has a people that are led of the Spirit of God, that walk in the Spirit of God, that believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And I don't know if there's two people that believe every single thing exactly alike. And I've always preached we must all believe exactly the same thing. I've always preached that. I always believe that. And I believe when Christ is in you, you are going to believe this message 100%.
Yes, sir.
Right. Brother Branham said, there's things in the message that I hold dear to my heart that I've always felt was going to be this way or be that way. What's he saying? He's saying there's things I don't know. There's things I'm not sure about. But in my heart, I feel like it's going to be like this. There's not one of us know everything.
Amen.
We don't.
That's right.
There might be some things you feel like it could be this way or it could be that way. That's Brother Bam said, that's between you and God.
Yes, sir.
That's between you and God. The biggest mistake I could make is when you have that something in your heart that you feel is between you and God, is for me to come and squash that with my law. For me to come and say, no. Not like that. Because I feel like it's like this. Everything that you're supposed to see, everything that you're supposed to understand, God will reveal it to you in the time that you're supposed to know it in. It ain't going to be in the time I want it to be in, because I already see a bunch of people that are way ahead of me, that are way ahead of me. And I'm thinking, I'm not there. And I'm getting old, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be there. But if Christ is in me, it's not about how much I know.
Amen.
It's not about how much you know.
Right.
This is not God's tallying this up, okay? This one has this much revelation. Nope, you don't have enough revelation yet. You're not going to make it. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
No, it doesn't work that way. How does it work? You're born again by the Word of God.
Yes.
You're born again by the Spirit of God. And Christ is in you manifesting Himself.
Amen.
That's it. You know what? He can manifest Himself in a genius like Paul and enjoy every minute of it. Hey, he just outsmarted them every kind of way. They thought they were going to kill him one time. This, he said, I'm a Roman. Huh?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what? How can you be a Roman? You're a Jew. He said, well, I was freeborn. And so then they couldn't touch him. They feared touching him then. Huh? And then in the Word, he just was so smart. And it was just beautiful. You just love listening to him and talking to him. And then you take somebody who didn't have no education, didn't say the words right, just destroy words when he talks. And God loves it.
Amen.
He had a John the Baptist out there. He couldn't even dress nicely. He was in a camel skin. And even his diet would make people want, like, oh my. Huh? Yeah.
Amen.
God. He called this one one of the greatest prophets.
Yep.
It's not about how much I know or how much you know. It's about how much you've died and how much he's alive. And when we get there, then he begins to lead and he begins to guide. And we're no longer judging everybody.
Amen.
That's got to die.
Yeah,
yep.
Amen.
I know it's a razor edge. I know it's a razor edge because Satan say, "Oh, well, you just go do whatever you want to. And just tell people you're led by the Spirit." And there's plenty of people doing that. There's plenty of people doing that. There's a lot of people that, and they are just so bold and they're so out there and they just do anything and they got their chest out and they're being led by the Spirit and this is God. And they're happy and they don't have any condemnation. And many times we're fearing. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to do wrong. We want everything to be right. And that's how we should be. We should care.
Amen.
We should care about it. We should be careful about it. But we should be looking for that boldness. We should be looking for that, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That we can walk out there and say, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
This is right. That's right.
Amen.
That's what we want.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? It's never going to come to you with an arrogant spirit to say, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
You're never going to do that.
Amen.
No, it's never going to be like that.
No.
It's going to come in humility.
Yes.
It's going to come with such humility that it will be encased in the love of God.
Amen.
Not your love, not your filial love, but that agape love. And that's the difference. When we're out there just doing something by our love, it don't always work out.
That's right.
That's why I say, you can go there with love, and you can go there with the desire to fellowship, you can go there with a lot of things, you can go emotion, all these other things. You better go there with the leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
And if you don't have it, you ought to stay home.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said, at Nicaea, he said, those believers, those prophets come out of the woods. He said, they shouldn't have went. They shouldn't have went. They should have stayed home. You say, oh, no. Are we? We do nothing until the Father shows us first.
That's right.
That's what we're supposed to be. That's what Jesus was. Do nothing until you are led by the Spirit.
Amen.
See, it's so easy. It's so easy if you have a law. It's so easy if you got a book. Right and wrong. But it's not easy when you're walking by faith. Because now you got to know. You got to be surrendered. Because you're always thinking, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. You're thinking. Huh? Your intellect is getting in the way. I typed one time with going down the road and the mirrors on the side of your car. And you know, when you set those mirrors and you can see the side of your car, that's your security. That's your security. Most people don't know how to set the mirrors on the side of the car. Because they have a blind spot. When a car comes up behind them, they can't see it till it gets beside them. That's why they have to look behind them to see the car.
Yep.
If you push your mirrors all the way out till you don't see none of your car, you have to look over to see your car.
Yep.
Now, try to do it. If you're not used to doing that, do it and see what happens.
Right.
You have fear. Because you don't see anything. You're just looking out into to space. And I've seen people that they're completely looking at their door and the mirror's doing them no good. It's absolutely doing no good. You push that mirror out until you just have to glance over to see the car. Just just a little lean to see the car. It'll take you a while to get used to it. Why? Because of security. You need that security of seeing the side of the car. And some people can't even do it. They have to see the side of the car. If you see the side of the car, you have a blind spot. And when a car's coming up beside you, when he leaves this mirror, there'll be a space of time before you see him in this mirror. He'll actually be beside you.
Yeah.
It's that fear of the unknown. It's there. And that's just how it is when you're walking by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It takes faith.
Yes.
It takes revelation.
Yeah.
And the other one, you're depending on your senses. You're depending on your senses. You have to see it. You have to feel it. Okay, we're not getting very far here. Oh, boy. I'm already out of time.
Right.
And I'm just getting started. My wife this morning, I asked her, I said, do you think I talk about politics a lot? And she said, sometime you really do. And I'm like, I don't think I do. But I'm going to do my best not to say any more about it. Okay? But I've told you, I've confessed, I want to be open. I want to be open. I don't want to be anything that you find out from somebody else and then you don't understand or you don't know why, or you say, you know, we didn't used to do it that way at Brother Holmes's. We didn't used to do it that way. There's a lot of things that Brother Holmes taught in a very forceful way that made people think, or that actually to those people it became a law. It became a law to them because of the way it was delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was times I talked to Brother Holmes, and I can't think of a lot of examples, but I can think of at least one at the moment, because it interested me. Because, you know, I was right there with him, and I sat there with him for an hour before every service, and, you know, we talked. And so he would start on something, and there was a... those that was there, if you listened just to what he preached, it was a sin to have a cell phone.
Yeah.
It was a sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just took what he said about a cell phone and the internet and all of that that's on it, you would take it as a sin.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that wasn't right because he had one.
Right.
So you know that it sounded like one thing, but actually it was something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he got on the thing, he went through a phase where he was talking about people drinking wine or drinking. And I'm like, well, there ain't none of these believers drinking. I said, I'm sure of that. You know, there's nobody here is getting drunk and nobody here, you know, doing that. And so he kept on. And I said, well, so one day I asked him, I said, brother, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, what if somebody couldn't sleep? And they had a, you know, they can't sleep. They have a hard time going to sleep. I said, and they have three choices. I said, they have a choice of sleeping pills or these nerve pills. And I knew there were some sisters on nerve pills in the church. And I said, or a glass of wine. I said, what would you think about that? He said, I wouldn't have no problem at all with that. Did you ever hear him say that from the pulpit?
No.
No, never.
No,
he told me that personally in the room.
No.
You would have had to ask him on many, many things that he nailed so hard, you would think you were in sin. But if you went and asked him, I don't know how many times somebody would come up and say something to him. Well, Brother Holmes, you know, he'd preach something and they'd come up to him and they were just condemned and distraught and what to. And they would talk to him and said, that's okay. There's no problem with that. And I'm like, okay, he just preached. And it sounded like this was completely over. So you say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that you need to be led of the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
You need to be in such a relationship with God
Yes.
that You're not going by a law that I've set up or a law somebody else has set up, but you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can be led of the Spirit. You say, well, we're not going to need you no more. Well, that just depends. Maybe you won't. Maybe you won't. But I think that the Word will continue to come forth as God ordained for it to come forth.
Yes, sir.
And as it comes forth, He's going to reveal it to you.
Yes.
The difference is, I don't go with you everywhere you go. You are led of the Spirit.
Amen.
How you get fed and you being led of the Spirit, that's two different things. That's two different things. And even though God has a place, a way for you to be fed, He still speaks to you. He still reveals Himself to you. Sometimes you can hear something by two or three preachers, and then one day at home, you get it. One day at home, you're praying, or you're reading your Bible, or you're reading the message, and there is. So, rather it was the prophet, rather it was Brother Goomba, rather it was Brother Don or Brother Michael, who are you going to give credit to? There's only one person to give credit to. The same person every time, no matter what point in time you heard it or that it clicked. It's still God. It's always God. Don't never get where you got to, it's got to be this person. Because if you get to that place where it's got to be this person, then you're going to miss. Because God ain't going to have it. God is not going to do that at all. He's not going to do it. No. And He proved that. Every man is going to have his calling, what God wants him to do. But he's never going to be, even like Brother Branham. He was the one ordained to bring the revelation. Nobody else was ordained for that. And then all of us come in under that. But just like talking about that woman, that God wanted to pray.
Yes.
There was the prophet. Why would God do that?
Yeah. That's right.
Because God is a God of variety.
Yeah.
And God has a many-membered body. Yeah. And He's been building up this bride for 2,000 years, and now He has it.
Yeah.
And He is going to use the whole body. Yeah. So if you think there's nothing for you to do, you better quit thinking that way. You better get that out of your mind, because there's not one part of your body that you don't use. And there's not one part of God's body that He's not going to use.
That's right.
So you change your thinking,
Change
your thinking. And every day, God, what will you have me to do? God, what will you have me to do today? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand. I've kept you a little bit long, but I know the children got school. So this has been on my heart. And I really, all day I've been struggling with it. And it's time. It's just time for the bride to really pull in close to Him.
Yes, sir.
And let Him have His way.
Amen.
That preeminence that we talk about, let Him have His way. Amen. Everything I do, I don't want to be fearing that what you think, whether I'm doing right or wrong.
Amen.
Everything that you feel God's moving you to do, you don't want to be feeling like, oh, the people are going to look down on me. No.
Mm-hmm.
What you want is to let your life so shine that people know that you're a believer. People know that you're a Christian. And they're not going to judge you by the flesh. They know where your heart is. They know that you believe this revelation.
Amen.
We used to talk about people going to the bar to witness to somebody. That would be a very, very rare, very rare situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if I seen your car parked up at the bar, or one of you, that's where I'm going to place it. God has them there for a reason. God, I'm not going to say, oh, no, they're in there drinking. No. I'm going to eliminate that.
Amen.
Because that's what the Scripture says to do. Because that's what your life testifies. Your life testifies If God led you there, that's not what you're going to be doing. You're not going to be in there getting drunk. You might not even be in there. You might just have parked there. You might have parked and you're going somewhere else. Whatever it is. Maybe my examples are bad, but just, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you. And we struggle, Lord, on how to put these words together. But Lord, we know one thing sure, that you have a bride on the earth, Lord, that will walk in the Spirit, that will talk in the Spirit, Lord, that will be led by the Spirit. And Lord, we want to surrender ourselves so that you can have your way, that you, Lord, can bless your people. And Lord, that you can glorify yourself, not glorify us, but glorify yourself. Lord, for you're worthy of all glory and all honor. May you bless each one now. May you be with Emily and the children, Lord, knowing they're already, no doubt, missing Brother Gumba. Lord, when you're with somebody, Lord, you miss them even before they leave, just thinking about it. Lord, may you continue to strengthen them and comfort them, and for Asenoth and Bride. And Lord, each one, you know every heart, every need. We just commit all to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.